Jan?
All right, so this mimer that we're going to learn today, which I called the Exilic Energizer, is a very, very unique mimer, because usually we speak about a father, Jacob, by Yechi Yaakov, as having lived in Mitzrayim. And we talked about Yaakov's best years in Mitzrayim. The answer usually is, how could it have been? Not why it had to be. How could it be that Yaakov Avinu should have his best years in Mitzrayim? How could it be? The answer is, you study Torah. That's the simple answer. But this mimer takes it in a very different direction, as you'll see. So this is delivered by the Rebbe, Parshas Vayechi, Tezayin Tevis, Tav Shem Mem Zayin, which that year was either 86 or 87. My father Jacob lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years. And so the days of Jacob were 7 years and 140 years. To be more accurate, 40 years and 100 years. There's a famous diuk with regard to analyzing this mimer, analyzing the words of this pasuk. What is the meaning of Yaakov lived? It doesn't just say Yaakov existed. It doesn't just say Yaakov spent. It says Vayechi, which Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim is mashma she'iker shenoisov chai Yaakov b'Mitzrayim. The Yaakov's primary years, which you would call his prime or best years, were spent in the land of Egypt. Now remember, Egypt is going to be the place of our exile. Egypt is not a place that is hospitable to holiness. Egypt is not Eretz Yisrael. It's the polar opposite of Eretz Yisrael. Everything from its name onward represent the antithesis of the spiritual freedom that Yaakov Avinu seeks. And yet, we say Yaakov lived his prime years in this place. So that has to be understood. Even before the last 17 years of his life, our father Jacob experienced lofty realities. He experienced good years, so to speak. It says prior to this, in the beginning of the whole story starts to unfold. That our father Jacob lived in the land of the sojourn of his fathers. The Torah describes those years as Vayeshev. Vayeshev comes from the Hebrew word yeshiva. Yeshiva means to settle down, to sit, literally. But like a yeshuv in Israel is called a settlement. Although in Hebrew it's a great word, a terrible word in English. But it means to settle down. And yeshuv means the exact opposite. What settlement implies temporary. Yishuv implies permanence. Here we are. We're here to stay. So Yaakov Avinu settles down. It means indicative of comfort, of happiness, of equilibrium. V'hayinu shehoyu b'matzav shel Vayeshev. Vayeshev means yisyashvus, settled, menucha, serenity, peace. And it's Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. It's the land of the sojourn of his fathers. U'befrat av pirush chazal, that with Yaakov Avinu, when he settled in Israel, what he really sought was a sense of perfect equilibrium. He wanted to relax, so to speak. He wanted to relax, so to speak, and he did relax until the angst of the situation of Yosef sprang upon him. The Rebbe explains elsewhere in the Sicha that it's 9 years. 9 years. 9 years is a chunk of time. For 9 years, Yaakov lived a very, very serene, placid, relaxed existence, living with his family in the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. No Lavan, no Esav, no issues, no problems. Life is good. Why does it say here Yaakov lived? That's the word in Hebrew. Right, we're all about the people of living. For us, the great number is chai, or twice chai, or three times chai. You want to live. It's all about life. And here it says, where's life? Life? Life. Life is a Mitzrayim. Life is a Mitzrayim. That's where Yaakov, so to speak, you know, the saying Yiddish, gemacht aleben. That's where he made life. That's where he lived it up. Maybe you could say, he, despite being a Mitzrayim, lived. But Vayechi doesn't say despite. It says Vayechi, and he lived. שמש מה שדווקא במצרים חי ינקף. והנה לחיר אפשר לומר, it would be perhaps reasonable to say, the Masha Nehmer v'chi Yankiv eretz Mitzrayim, when it says these words that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim for these 17 years, hakavana b'zehi, the intention here is, ki mefurish b'hemshech ha-pasuk. Like it says in the continuation of the pasuk, shehu shva, shva sreshon, 17 years. So these 17 years, Yaakov lived these 17 years. There was 17 years left of his life. He lived the last 17 years of his life. So don't read into Vayechi. Don't make a whole thing about it. It says he lived and he was living. He was living. He lived 17 years. So it says he lived. Aval noisef al hamafurish b'divrei Rabbeinu Hazaken b'fider zeh sheshneisef achiteves yankiv b'mitzrayim. Besides the interpretation of the Alter Rebbe, which is quoted in Hayom Yom of 18 of Teves, that Yaakov Avinu lived his best years in Mitzrayim. So the Alter Rebbe clearly has lived his best years. Besides this, Ef Shalemer can. You can't say this. And you can't say this in the base time because of two reasons. Hare Mevur Bekama Mekemes, as explained in multiple places, so Mispar Yud Zayin, that the number 17 in Hebrew, which is the 17 in this pasuk, is Begematria Teif. A number of Rishonim talk about the fact that 17 years is not happenstance. It's precise and exact. And the 17 years represent the Gematria of good. That means good. So 17 good years. Shemizem, move on. From this is understood, Sheshnoisav achi toiveis, that the best years he had, where were they? Mitzrayim. Like a trivia question. Where were Jacob's best years? What would you say? Vayeshev. And it's Canaan. No, his best years in the land of, best years in Mitzrayim? Really? Forget that it became the place of our slavery. It was hostile to Jewish ideas. It wasn't receptive to the whole notion of Judaism. It was a place that deified the flesh and the body instead of the soul. Even when people died, they were busy preserving the flesh because they didn't believe in a soul. They believed in an afterlife, only in a terrestrial or bodily sense. It's almost like Meshuggah. It's like secular fundamentalists or you call them, or material, corporeal fundamentalists. It was all about the body to them. And Yaakov lived his best years there. Like it's explained in many places, that the Yudzayin Shana Eila, that these 17 years, they correspond to Yosef ben Shvasa Shana, to the fact that at the beginning of Vayeshev, it says Yosef was 17 years old. So this is the major question in the Maamar. There is a secondary question in the Maamar about the way the years are listed, but knowing the limitations of time, I'm going to skip it with this first major question, and we're going to try to go down to the answer. Now, I want to emphasize that outside of this mimer, as a rule, the answer to the question is, like in Hasidic literature, Chabad literature, the probably the most famous source of the question is the Tzemach Tzedek, as a little boy who learns in Cheder that Yaakov lived his best years in Mitzrayim. Because he was a cheder, and his cheder taught him the pirush of the Baal HaTurim, that Yud Zayin is gematria tov, and Yaakov said the meitav shneisav, the best years were Mitzrayim. So the Tzemach Tzedek comes to his Zayde, the Alter Rebbe, and he's very distraught and he's crying. And he says to his Zayde, how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu, bechir sheba ave, is the select of the patriarchs, and he should live his best years in Mitzrayim, which is called Ervas Aretz, most licentious place on the face of earth, and it's a place of limitation. And it represents the polar opposite of holiness. Eretz Yisrael is a land that naturally wants to do the right thing, and Mitzrayim is exactly the opposite of that. So the Alter Rebbe says, you know, it says v'yis Yehuda shalach lefanav. Before Yaakov Avinu lowered himself into Mitzrayim, what did he first do? We learned last week's parsha. He sent Yehuda before. What was Yehuda's job? Rashi says the takan lebeis Talmud, to establish yeshiva. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says to the Tzemach Tzedek, that when a Yid learns Torah, is a Mitzrayim, euch gelebt. A Yid, even a Yaakov Avinu, he could live in Mitzrayim too. How could he live in Mitzrayim? He's learning Torah. So that's the usual, typical approach to answer. The question is, how could Yaakov live his best years? And what's the answer? He learned Torah. You could make it good anywhere. That's the answer usually. This is a radically different mimer. Here the Rebbe doesn't say, this is not like what we would call, you know, like an excuse. So how could it be? You know what? Now it could be because he learned Torah. Okay, so we have like a. So it was like really, really, it still doesn't make sense. Really, it still shouldn't be. However, it still could be anyway. That's usually the typical approach.
In this Maimer, the Rebbe takes a whole different approach where he says, no. It had to be. Dafke Mitzrayim. It couldn't have been anywhere else. Yaakov can only be energized in Mitzrayim. The only place he could really live is in Mitzrayim. That's really the question here. So the Rebbe says, Nekudas Habir, the kernel of explanation, here is the point. Dehini Yodua, it's known, and here the Rebbe is getting very basic here, going back to Tanya, Perek Lamed Vav, very basic principles of Tanya, that Tachlis, Kavonas, Brias, Habria, that the whole intention, the purpose of creation, Yi Mashinisava, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the whole purpose of creation is that God should have a dwelling place here in this world. That's the whole purpose of creation. As Alter Rebbe reasons in Perek Lamed Vav, if the Alter Rebbe wanted higher worlds, said he would have just created higher worlds. Why? The more worlds we have, the lower it gets. For us, it's a virtue to higher worlds. But for God, that's a descent. That means to say this world, this terrestrial material world, it doesn't get lower than this. That doesn't get lower. Okay, like it's explained in Tanya, that the higher worlds, for us, those higher worlds are unbelievable. They break the glass ceiling. But from God's perspective, those lower worlds are but a descent. They just it's all less than. So what's the whole point? Why are these worlds created? These worlds are created so that eventually the material world should be created. That's why these worlds are created. And the material world's purpose? That's Tzedek Aliyah. It was created to serve as a catalyst for elevation. That's why this world is created. The lowest world to bring us to the greatest elevation. This is best represented in Yaakov's life going down into Mitzrayim. Why did Yaakov go into Mitzrayim? So somebody who doesn't learn Chassidus will say, well, he went because he was hungry. He had no choice because he needed food. But if you learn Chassidus, you say, no. The reason he went into Mitzrayim was b'shvil lasas le'yizbarach dir b'tachtenim. In order for there to be a terrestrial physical reality of a Jewish nation, that Jewish nation first has to go into Golus in Mitzrayim, it has to dissolve in Mitzrayim and then emerge as a nation. That, my dear friends, that is the concept of a total transformation of a dira b'tachtenim. And the reason Yaakov goes into the material world, into this lower world, is because there and there alone will he experience the greatest elevation. The Mitzrayim, haynu lo yirak ha-mitzorim v'agvulim shalamayla. Mitzrayim, which means limitations, its very name means strictures, borders. Mitzrayim, which implies limitations which obscure the neshama. Not only the mitzadim and gvulim shalamayla, not only limitations insofar as spiritual service is concerned, ela mitzadim and gvulim elam delam haza. This is the greatest strictures, because this whole world is one stricture. So a world which is basically a stricture for the neshama, Mitzrayim is the stricture from within the strictures, the most limiting reality. Hatachten, we're talking about from the strictures of this elam haza hatachten, ad le mitzadim and gvulim dinyani reshus, until everything is limited. The nature of Mitzrayim is, not only Mitzrayim is hostile to that which is necessarily holy, even to areas where there isn't an issue of holiness. It's just like, you know, it's elective. Even there Mitzrayim gets in the way. Even there Mitzrayim serves as an obfuscation and an obstacle. Until we get to Mitzrayim Kipshute, which is Erev Asar, it's the most licentious place on the face of earth at the time. Most immoral place. V'tachlas hakavona by Ridlu Mitzrayim. The purpose of going down into Mitzrayim is lasis by yisbarach dir b'tachtenim. That eventually, even Mitzrayim is going to know about the presence of God. That God consciousness will reach even this lowest point on earth, so to speak. Gam b'tachten zeh. So now, what have you introduced? You've introduced the very, very famous and well-worn idea of that Chassidus says the whole purpose, based on the Medrash Tanchuma, Pashas Nasi, that the whole purpose of creation is that there should be a dira b'tachtonim. Why did God create this world? The purpose is that in this world, there should be people who learn Torah. In this world, we should do mitzvahs. In this world, we should be aware of God. In this world, we should rotate and reorient people's perspective. In this world. That's what God wants. And of course, in its fruition,
in its full maturation, this will be when Mashiach will come, when the material physical world, instead of concealing godliness, will instead reflect godliness.
So that's why Yaakov goes down into Mitzrayim. And through that prism, we can answer the question. V'zeu v'yichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. This is why Yaakov goes down into Eretz Mitzrayim. You know why? You know why? And you know why he lives? Not goes down. Why he lives? We say, why does he live there? Yaakov finds himself really plugged in. He finds himself on fire. He finds himself really alive. Where in Mitzrayim? She'ikir chayev, that the primary years, that the best of his years. Shnoi savachi tevis shal Yaakov chay, where be Mitzrayim dafke? The afshe Mitzrayim humokim achi yorud, even though Mitzrayim is the lowest of places. Avol makivish of Mitzrayim, kayem avro yankivis, etachlas akavona, la'asei slay yizbaruch diribetachtainim. Because it was in this very place that our father Yaakov was able to best fulfill the mission that Hashem gave him, which was Lasis Leizbarech, to make for God a dira b'tachteinim, a dwelling place in this world. Because there was no lower place, because this was the place where Yaakov could best and most intensely fulfill that purpose of making a dwelling place for Hashem. So because of that, that's why Yaakov found Hareza Amitase Yichayim Shal Yaakov. That's why Yaakov's life was most fulfilled there. In other words, like this. Mekivan Sha'avis Hayu B'Telun Alikos. Because the patriarchs were in a state of absolute nullity, absolute commitment, absolute loyalty, absolute dedication to godliness. To the point that just like the wagon or the car or vehicle doesn't have a mind of its own, it simply follows wherever the driver takes it. That was the metaphor, the apt metaphor that our sages in the Zohar created to understand the psyche of the patriarchs. That's where the patriarchs were. B'telum lalikus b'tachlos. Ukemaimer, like the famous expression, which is found in the Medrash in the Zohar, that ha'ovas ain't hinna markova. The ovas are that chariot, are that vehicle. And a movement that's understood then, she'ikir achayim shalahem hu l'kayim akavana. That if you would ask Yaakov, what does he live for? What would his answer be? What does Yaakov live for? What did he say? What would he say? For spiritual pleasure? For spiritual self-gratification? For a sense of love to Hashem, a sense of spiritual ecstasy. If you would ask Yaakov, what did they tell you? What is my tachlis? What is my purpose? What would it answer be to you? My purpose, you would say? My purpose last is to make God a dwelling place. That's my purpose. That's what I live for. So that then becomes the point. Because that's what Yaakov lives for, and because Yaakov does it there better than anywhere else, where would he live best? In the place that what he lives for is best fulfilled. The main primary purpose of life is to fulfill the purpose of life. Because the intention is to make for God a dwelling place in the material world. And because that was where? That was in Mitzrayim. That's why the question was, how could that be the primary place of Yaakov's life? That could be a place of Yaakov's life, a secondary place. How could that be the primary place of Yaakov's life? And the answer is, because that's the kavana, because that's the purpose. And for Yaakov, it was never about him. For Yaakov, the question always was, what is the kavana of the Rebbeinu Shlomo? What does God want? And because the kavana is being fulfilled in this place, more so than anywhere else, that's where Vayichi Yaakov is experienced. Now, the balance of the Maamar explains the story with the years. Why the years are skewed. By Sarah, you may know the years are listed one way. And here, by Yaakov, the years are listed a different way. And the answer is the same. The same principle also plays itself out into the idea of the years as well, that it's all about the Dira B'Tachtainim. So I'm just pointing out that this Maamar is a huge chiddush, a huge departure from the general approach of chiddush is, Yaakov is Yaakov, and Yaakov lives his best years of Mitzrayim because he learns Torah. It's almost like, despite it all, this Maamar tells us a new perspective. It's not despite it all. No, because that's exactly why he lives his best years. In other words, because Yaakov is a mission-driven individual. And because he's mission-driven, where does his best years lived? Wherever the mission calls most. And since the mission calls most here, then that's where he'll live most. Because it was never about him, it was always about the mission. Anyway, that's the short of the long of it for today.